So I'd like to welcome you today. It's time for the seminar, no? Okay. I'd like to welcome you today to the seminar on the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. We won't need that for a few minutes. We can get it ready, maybe, but it will be maybe 5-10 minutes. 5 minutes. So, first, I'd like to offer obeisances to my spiritual master. Om Gyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshumiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Noham Mokam Karoti Vachalam Bhangam Langhete Girim Yakipantamam Vande Shri Gurum Tiritavinam Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So before I start the seminar on the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam, I would like to read a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam. And this verse is from the first canto, 16th chapter, and verse number 8. Nakaschin miyate tava diavarasta ihantaka itaratam hi bhagavan ahuta paramashibi aho niloke pieta harililam ritam vacha. Here's the translation of this verse. As long as Yamaraj, who causes everyone's death, is present here, no one shall meet with death. Everybody knows who is Yamaraj? Anybody doesn't know? Everybody knows, yes? Okay. So, this verse is being spoken by the sages at Naimisharanya, who were the first who were hearing Srimad Bhagavatam 5,000 years ago in the forest of Naimisharanya. And they are saying that Yamaraj is present while they are speaking Bhagavatam. So, wherever Bhagavatam is being spoken, Yamaraj is present. And what does that mean? As long as Yamaraj is present here, no one shall meet with death. So whenever you are going to the Bhagavatam class or hearing Bhagavatam, you should know that don't worry about dying at that point, because Yamaraj likes to hear Bhagavatam. So he comes, and when he's hearing Bhagavatam, he can't do anything. So the great sages have invited the controller of death, Yamaraj, who is a representative of the Lord. Living beings who are under his grip should take advantage by hearing the deathless nectar in the form of this narration of the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, every human being dislikes meeting death, but he does not know how to get rid of death. The surest remedy for avoiding death is to accustom oneself to hearing the nectarian pastimes of the Lord as they are systematically narrated in the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. So today we're going to hear the glories, all about how Bhagavatam is so wonderful, why we should hear it all the time, and this is the first reason why we should hear Bhagavatam, because we will not die. There is another verse in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam which states that Ayur Hariti Vaipunsan Udyanastan Chayanasau Tasyarte Yakshanonita Uttamasota Vartaya. The sun, both by rising and setting, takes away the life of everyone except one who is hearing Bhagavatam or the nectar of the Lord. So therefore, something's happening here.
No, it's the Tori is joining from Miami.
Oh, okay. Hare Krishna. Welcome from Miami. Are you on the phone or?
Yeah, they're on the phone.
Okay, welcome from Miami.
Mokshada, we can hear you. We need to put your phone on mute.
So we were just talking how anyone who is hearing Bhagavatam will not die, because we have invited Yamaraj to Bhagavatam class. So maybe one of you is Yamaraj, I don't know. Could be, we don't know. Who is who here? So Now we can start the projector. And today we are going to study Bhagavatam, actually, according to the prayers of Sanatan Goswami. Sanatan Goswami wrote some beautiful prayers called Krishna Lilastava. So we're going to put these prayers up, hopefully, on the wall here, so all of you can see it, except for our friends in Miami, but that's okay, you just hear it. And whoever is here can follow along on these prayers. So first we have the prayers, and then after that comes the outline. Is it? Okay. These prayers were sung by us in Vrindavan, in the VIHE, every day before studying Srimad Bhagavatam in our course of Bhakti Vedanta and Bhakti Vaibhav. And the purpose of Bhagavatam study is found in these prayers. And the first purpose of hearing Bhagavatam and studying Bhagavatam is to invoke the presence of Lord Krishna. When we speak Bhagavatam and hear Bhagavatam, we're calling Krishna to come. Krishna is there in every page of Srimad Bhagavatam. So when we actually hear attentively and submissively, then we can feel the presence of Krishna with us. The second point is to get spiritual vision from the sun of Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is like the sun that has risen after Krishna has left this planet. And the third point is to serve Srimad Bhagavatam, Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The fourth point, to make Bhagavatam our friend, our guru, our companion, our deliverer. And the fourth reason why to read and hear Bhagavatam, to experience a change of heart. So we'll go deeply into each of these points, but first we will sing the prayers. So these are the prayers. I will sing one line, and then you can repeat after me. Sarvashastra Tipiyusha, Sarvashastra Tipiyusha, Sarvavedaika Satphala,
Sarvavedaika Satphala,
Sarvasiddhantara Nadya, O Srimad Bhagavatam, O nectar cherry from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures. O most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas. O you who are enriched with the jewels of all spiritual philosophical conclusions. O you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world. O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees. O Lord, you are the sun which has arisen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna, who has returned among us. Okay, next verse.
Paramananda Pataya,
Paramananda Pataya,
Prema Vashyaksharayate,
Prema Vashyaksharayate,
Sarvada Sarva Sevyaya,
I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss. For your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader.
You are always to be served by everyone, for you are an incarnation of Lord Krishna. Next verse.
Madeka bandho matsangin.
Madeka bandho matsangin.
Madguro mad mahatana.
Madguro mad mahatana.
Manishtaka mad bhagya.
Manishtaka mad bhagya.
Mad ananda namostate.
Mad ananda namostate.
Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam. Oh, my only friend. Oh, my companion. Oh, my teacher. Oh, my great wealth. Oh, my deliverer. Oh, my good fortune. Oh, my bliss. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Next verse.
Asadu sadu tadayin.
Asadu sadu tadayin.
Atini chachataraka.
Atini chachataraka.
Hanamanchikara chinnam.
Hanamanchikara chinnam.
O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen, please don't ever leave me. Please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. So let us go back to the first verse, first two verses. And we'll go line by line. So I'll just read one line. You don't have to repeat now. You just listen. But I will ask you some questions along the way. So don't worry. You will be participating. So the first quality of Bhagavatam, Sarvashastrapti Piyusha. Now this means nectar churned from the ocean of all the big scriptures. So let us go to the translation now for a minute. Nectar churned from the ocean of all the Vedic scriptures. Now, have any of you heard the story of the churning of the ocean of milk? So, may I ask, what came out from the ocean when they churned the ocean of milk? Yes? Poison came, okay. Then nectar, and what else? Lakshmi, yes. Airavata, jewels. The moon. Dhanvantari with the nectar. Yes, and actually it is said, when I took a course, a little short course in Ayurveda, is that the nectar was Ayurvedic medicine and the poison was the Western allopathic. That's what our Ayurvedic doctor told us. And actually, the funny thing was, recently I saw a picture of the symbol for the Western doctor, Hippocrates, you know? And it's a staff with a snake on it. A snake around it, so could be. The snake is going, so the snake's got the poison. Anyway. Yeah, yeah. Allopathic medicine. Yeah. It's for allopathic medicine. Yeah.
And they all, like, every medicine is a poison. Actually, that's the first medicine they are teaching from us.
Oh, yeah. See,
every
that's
is
true.
A poison.
Yeah.
Because
it's fat.
But if you take it in small amount, it has a
yes, so it is true in the symbol. And for Ayurveda, it's the pot of nectar. There we go. So now we've heard about the ocean of milk. Now, if you churn the ocean of the Vedas, you get Bhagavatam. Vedas are like a huge ocean of scriptures. You can't even see the end of it. But if you churn it, like you're churning milk, out comes Bhagavatam. That's the nectar. That's the essence of the Vedas. So that's the first thing that this verse describes. You don't have to read all the Vedas. You just read Bhagavatam because that is the essence of all the Vedas. Some people want to study and be Vedic, but better than being Vedic is to be studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And that will give you everything. Now, the second line, Sarva Vedaika Sat Phala. Sarva, the second line, Sat Phala. Now this means the fruit, most prominent transcendental fruit of all the Vedas. So it's the nectar of the Vedas and it's the fruit. The Vedas are compared to a tree, a desire tree. And from this tree, you can get anything you want from the Vedas, material and spiritual. In fact, there is knowledge how to make an airplane. There is knowledge, in fact, Prabhupada, when he was asked by the reporters about the Vedas and about the airplanes, and he was saying there's three ways to fly. One way is by pigeon, this is to some reporter, and one way is by mantra, and one way is by flying carpet. So they asked Prabhupada, well, why have you gone by airplane? And he said, to be one with you. So actually, everything you can get, you get medicine from the Vedas, you get architecture, there's the Shilpa Ved, the Vastu architecture. Everything is there in the Vedas. But the most prominent, the best fruit, the transcendental fruit, is Bhagavatam and the desire tree of the Vedic literature. So that is why Bhagavatam is so wonderful. It is the ripened fruit of the Vedic literature. In fact, the third verse, Nigama Kalpa Taror Kalitam. This fruit of Bhagavatam has no skin and no seed. It is like juice, and it is drunk by Shukadev, and then is digested, then is drunk by Śrīla Prabhupāda, and made even more sweet. And then we get it. So with Prabhupāda's purports, we get a very sweet nectar drink, Śrīmad Bhagavatam. So it's the nectar of the ocean of Vedas, it is the ripened fruit of the Vedas, Sara Siddhanta Ratnadhyā, and it is a jewel. It is the jewel of all spiritual, philosophical conclusions. So whatever philosophical conclusions you want to come to, they're all compared to jewels. And Bhagavatam has all these jewels within it. And it is the best jewel. It's like a treasure chest. So three ways it's compared with the Vedas, as nectar, as a fruit, and as jewels. Or you who grant spiritual vision to all the people of the world. So it is the light. In the Vedas, there's a Vedic aphorism, Tamasima Jyotikama, that you should don't go to the darkness, go to the light. So in this Kali Yuga, everyone is going in the darkness. And they think, and they see the stars in the sky, and they think this is the light, and they don't go to the moon. So the stars are compared to cheating philosophers, and the moon is compared to Krishna consciousness, Vaishnavism. So Bhagavatam is the sun, it is giving light to all the people of the world. It's not that there is no light in this Kali Yuga, it is that people refuse to see the light, actually. They don't want to see the light. But Bhagavatam is the light, shining on everyone. There's an early picture in Srimad Bhagavatam of Vyasadeva holding up the Bhagavatam, and light is shining, and all the people are in darkness, and some few are coming up to grasp the light. So luckily, you are among those few people here today, trying to reach that light. O life breath of the Vaishnava devotees, O Lord. So in Vrindavan, Prabhupada says, everyone is reading Bhagavatam. If you go on the street, you see billboards for Bhagavad Katha, so many billboards. Some of them say all their itinerary through Europe and America, but a lot of them are happening in Vrindavan, like two or three every day, where everybody's reading Bhagavatam. And so Prabhupada, in a lecture, he said, don't waste time. As much as possible, you should try to read Srimad Bhagavatam. Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam, it's very dear to the Vaishnavas. Life breath. One of our sannyasis, Gorgovinda Maharaj, he says, if I don't have a day that I don't speak Bhagavatam, then I feel like I'm dying. And so it is like the breath that makes them alive, makes us alive. So Prabhupada says, Bhagavatam is so nice. You practice anywhere, any condition. Simply by reading Bhagavatam, you will be happy. And the second part of this verse, you are the sun, which has risen to dispel the darkness of Kali Yuga. You are actually Lord Krishna who has returned among us. So in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it explains exactly what happens when we contact Srimad Bhagavatam. There's a step-by-step process. This is in Adi Lila, first chapter. That first of all, you meet Lord Nitai. They're also sun and moon that have arisen. So we've got Bhagavatam, we've got Lord Nitai. What is another sun that has arisen in this Kali Yuga? Holy name, very good. Any more suns? Prabhupada, very good. And I'm sure there's many more, but those are the main ones. And so the first thing that happens is you come in contact with Lord Chaitanya Gornita, Lord Chaitanya Nityananda. They come in your heart. And after they come in your heart, what happens next? It's explained, the sun and the moon of this world, they dispel the darkness, so then you can see things like trees and pots and plants. But the sun and moon of Gornitai dispel the darkness of the heart. So we have, some of us in Kali Yuga have darkness in our heart, and Gornitai can dispel that darkness. So what happens when Gornitai come in your heart? Next thing they show you, what's the first thing they show you? Two Bhagavatas. Book Bhagavat and Devotee Bhagavat. So when the light comes from Gornitai, they show you, okay, Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam, and Devotee Bhagavat. And after you get these two Bhagavatams and you serve them, Nityan Bhagavata Sevaya, next thing that happens is what? You get Krishna Prema. You get Bhakti. You get love of Krishna by serving these two Bhagavatas. Jai. Giriraj Maharaj ki jai. Gaurangai ki jai. So after you get love of Krishna in your heart, what happens next? It's not finished. After you get love of Krishna, something happens next. Who can tell me? What happens next? After you have association, you get bhakti, now you have love of God in your heart, what happens next? What's that?
You will know your
relationship with Krishna. Very good. Yeah, that's part of it. Good. Good, you will know your relationship and serve according to that relationship. Good, that's part of the answer. What else happens in your relationship with Krishna? That's a part of the answer.
Watering.
Pardon me?
Watering.
Watering it, yeah. What happens?
You get happiness.
Good. Something even more powerful and wonderful. When you get love of Krishna, you control Krishna. He's under your control. So when you get prema, then Krishna becomes attracted to you and you control him. You can call him. You can ask him to come anytime. Because whatever you do is for him. So he knows you're not calling him for some materialistic reason. You're calling him because you want to serve. Want to make him happy. So he comes. So these two Bhagavatas, they come in our heart. This is a summary. If we hear attentively Bhagavatam, then by the mercy of Guru Mutai, we get the association of the two Bhagavatas. They give us Krishna Prema, our bhakti. And then after that, we control Krishna. So the next verse. Yes?
When you compare that chanting of the
right.
In
the ocean. Vedic scriptures. I can't hear you actually.
Is there any the same poisonous counterpart in the Vedic literature?
Counterpart of what?
When you chant the Vedic literature.
Yeah.
Like poison comes from the ocean.
Oh, is there poison? Yeah. The poison of impersonalism is coming. Because Vedanta Sutra is actually coming from the Vedic scriptures, but then when the impersonalists interpret it, that's the poison. It's actually the poison of it. And the six darshans are poison when they are not connected with Krishna as well. When they're connected with Krishna, then they have value. But mostly, they are not connected with Krishna, so then they become poison. So we have the six darshans, of which Uttara Mimamsa is the Vedanta, but unfortunately it has been taken by impersonalists as well and misinterpreted, and it becomes aggressive. Sam Padaya Vihikina Ye Mantras Te Nishvala Mataha. If you get the mantra from the Sampradaya, without Sampradaya, Pratya Sampradaya, it's a poison. No fruit, Nishvala. Yeah, so we do have. In fact, I have heard that Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken to these six sages who started the six darshans, and they all heard it a different way, and then they wrote their six different darshans according to what they heard, how they heard Bhagavatam. And one of them wrote Karma Mamamsa, one of them wrote this Anu Karma Anubhav, another one wrote Samkhya. But there are just as there is the atheistic Samkhya philosophy by the atheistic Kapila, there is the proper Samkhya philosophy by incarnation Kapila Dev. As there is the impersonalist Uttara Mimamsa Shankaracharya, there is also the personalist written by Vyasadeva himself, and his actual commentary on the Vedanta Sutra is Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is the commentary on the Vedanta Sutra by the author himself. So therefore it should be taken as the actual commentary on the Vedanta. That poison is coming also. Okay, next verse. That's a very good question. Thank you for that. Right. Paramananda Pataya Prima Varshyaksharanite. O Srimad Bhagavatam, I offer my respectful obeisances to you. By reading you, one attains transcendental bliss, for your syllables rain pure love of God upon the reader. So if we actually are open to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, it will be like a shower of nectar. And you'll be so happy that you will forget where you are, who you are, and what you have to do next. You will forget everything. And that is, Sri Prabhupada said, each and every word of Bhagavatam is full of volumes of meaning. And I believe that Jiva Goswami, when he was writing his commentaries on Srimad Bhagavatam, he was offering obeisances to each word of Bhagavatam in writing. So you can try that sometime. Especially the first verse, it's got a lot of words. And Prabhupada said, actually, that if you read Srimad Bhagavatam one chapter every day for 1 year, after 1 year, you will become a learned scholar. So I did that for many years, and after a few years, I started teaching Bhaktivedanta, Bhaktivedanta course. I wouldn't even chant a whole chapter, I would just chant the prayers that I liked, and got through the whole Bhagavatam. But Prabhupada did say that if you chant every day, I just did the Sanskrit, you can do Sanskrit or English, but because you're Indian, you probably can do Sanskrit also easier. But it does work if you say Bhagavatam every day. So this is the wonderful power of Srimad Bhagavatam. You're always to be served by everyone for your incarnation of Lord Krishna. So I can read something here from Tattva Sundarbha. In case you don't have Srimad Bhagavatam in your house, you should get it. What is the use of collecting hundreds or thousands of other scriptures? If someone living in this Kali Yuga does not have Bhagavatam in his home, how can he be considered a Vaishnava? In fact, in Kali Yuga, a Brahmana who does not have Bhagavatam in his home is worse than a dog eater. Wherever in Kali Yuga the Bhagavatam is present, there Lord Hari will go along with the 13 principal demigods. Any human being who daily reads with devotion even one verse of Bhagavatam will obtain the benefits of studying all 18 Puranas, Skanda Purana, etc. So this is from, I think, Skanda Purana. Tattva Sundarbha is quoted from Skanda Purana. So this is the wonder of having Bhagavatam in your house. You will have Krishna in your house if you have Bhagavatam in your house. And if you don't, then watch out. According to the Puranas. Now the next verse is a very wonderful verse. And this is especially in case you're having trouble sometimes. What you should do is just open up the Bhagavatam. Ask your question, tell your problem, and open up the Bhagavatam and you will find the answer. So here is the verse. Madeka Bandha Mad Sangin. Oh my only friend, oh my companion. Mad Guru Mad Mahadana. Oh my teacher, oh my great wealth. Manishtaraka Mad Bhagya. Oh my deliverer, oh my good fortune. Marananda, oh my bliss. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Now, according to Tattvasandarbha, the Vedas, the Puranas, and the poetry that we find in the Vedic literature instruct one in three different ways. The Vedas instruct us just like a guru, like a master. You must do it like this. You cannot argue. The Puranas instruct you like a friend. They tell you stories with morals, and you can understand just by hearing the story. It's more like a friend. Oh, I told you the story. And the poetry is like a lover. So these are the three ways of instruction of the Vedas. Vedic tradition, three ways of speaking. So, how does Bhagavatam teach us? Which of these ways?
Friend.
All of the above, very good. Yes, as a friend, as a lover, sometimes as a guru, beginning of Bhagavatam, the second verse, we kick out all cheating religions from this Bhagavatam. So don't even try it. It's very heavy in the second verse, like a guru. And then like a friend, Narada telling the story of his life, the story of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj. And you have the moral of the story with Dhruva Maharaj that, yes, it's good to ask, it's good to go to Krishna if you have material desires, but actually you will regret it at the end. And you will just want to have Krishna instead. But Krishna won't forget your material desires, he'll make you happy, even when you don't want them. So there's moral to the stories, it's like a friend. But in the 10th canto, it is like a lover of the gopis expressing their separation from Krishna. In the 31st chapter, I don't have it here, Jayatite Takam, and they sing these beautiful verses, beautiful poetry. Sanskrit poetry is so beautiful. So you can feel all different feelings when you read Srimad Bhagavatam. All of the different rasas are there. All of the rasa of servant is there. Some of the people pray like servant to master, please deliver us, please save us, now we're in trouble. Oh, the demigods are always praying like servants. They remind Krishna, you saved Brahma, you saved Prahlad, you saved this one and that. Now save us. Every time. And they're reminding, don't forget now, you saved all of them. And we are devotees also, so you should save us. So Kunti also, she prays in a different way. She prays as more intimate, as a friend. Please let me be detached and let all my love flow to you. And then we have prayers of Kunti. Prachetas, yes. They were also as friends. They were all friends together, but they were also praying as servant. Lord Shiva as a servant. He was praying in servitude. He was appreciating the universal form. But all of them, they pray to have association with devotees, because then they can hear Bhagavatam all the time, or Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And then the lover of the gopis especially, they have that rasa with Krishna. So when Krishna disappears, then you can hear their hearts in their prayers, in very beautiful poetic prayers. And the friendship and the also the mother, actually Kunti prays in the maternal mood, in parental mood. But Yashoda and Nanda, they don't pray because they think he's just our son. What does he know? They don't believe he's God. They can't believe it. That, nothing can stop their parental love for Krishna. But Kunti, she did have that parental love, and she appreciated how Yashoda was more advanced than she was. She appreciated how Krishna was afraid of stick of Yashoda, although he's feared by Yamaraj himself. So this is our Bhagavatam. Whenever you have a doubt, whenever you have a trouble, you just open the Bhagavatam, ask for the answer, and the answer will come. It happens all the time. Gita also is good. You can do that with Gita and Bhagavatam, both of those books. So the last verse. Asadu sadhutadaya nati nicho chitaraka. This means that O Srimad Bhagavatam, O giver of saintliness to the unsaintly, O uplifter of the very fallen. So most of us were not born very saintly. So therefore, if we study Bhagavatam, we can become saintly and we can become uplifted. Sometimes we may be depressed, sometimes we may be sad, but if we associate with Bhagavatam, read Bhagavatam, then this will help us to become happy and to uplift us. And Prabhupada explains in the, again, in a purport right in the beginning of Bhagavatam, one must be anxious to hear this message. Desire to sincerely hear is the first qualification. So we want to hear sincerely. And if you hear, you can be lifted immediately to the position of Paramahansa, simply by agreeing to receive this message. So Bhagavatam is for the Paramahansas, for the highest renounced people. But if you simply agree to hear sincerely, then you can be lifted to that same level. The Paramahansas, they're always happy, and they're not worried about the problems of this world. So if you hear Bhagavatam, you can be on that level always. So the last part, please become manifest in my heart and my throat, accompanied by pure love of Krishna. Please don't ever leave me. So this, if we keep Bhagavatam as our companion, as our friend, then we cannot be touched by Kali Yuga, cannot be touched by so many things happening around us. We will always be protected, we will always be happy, we will always be safe. Anyway, that's okay. We can turn it off if you like. And so we will stop here if you have any questions. Yes? After. They wrote their books in Vrindavan. That was way before. Lord Chaitanya saved his life and then sent him to Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the six Gosamis wrote their books, all their books. They went there, they excavated the holy places, and they wrote their books. And they showed how to live in Vrindavan. Each of them were showing how to live a life of a Goswami in Vrindavan. And this is, although they were living underneath a different tree every night, this is what we got from them. Amazing. Now you need, if you want to write books, you need a computer, you need a printer, you need so many things. But, and you need a house, you need a place to live. But they were just living under the trees and writing on the palm leaves. And that's, yes. And in such wonderful literature they wrote, such wonderful books. Vyasadeva also, he was living in a cave. They said, in modern history they talk about the cavemen, but they don't know who these cavemen are or were. One of them was Vyasadeva. Amazingly enough, it was one of these cavemen. A lot of the yogis were living in caves, great sages were living in caves. Or living like that. So, and who in modern civilization has ever written books like this? Who can compare? Actually, when in London, when there was a court case against our temple, they wanted to stop the temple from being in that place. So the parliament, or the court, sent one of the people who was close to the king. He was a speed reader, and his assignment was to read all our books to see what was there. And so this person came, and he read all our books, and he said, "You people don't understand how great Srila Prabhupada was." "I understand, because I read all these books." He said, "You people don't know what he did for the world." So actually, he understood, that person, that English, whoever he was, some high personality in the
in the King's Court and Queen's Court for the Parliament, he was assigned to do that, just to read all of Prabhupada's books, just to see if what was in our philosophy, what we were doing. He was just so impressed that he said, you know, nobody like Prabhupada has been there. You people can't really appreciate, but I can appreciate what he's done. So, just by reading the books. So, if we read the books, we should at least appreciate. We may not be able to fathom how wonderful it is, but it is very powerful and it does work. And it can help you in times of distress as well. I have one friend who's always having some calamities happen. And she doesn't understand why. She says, okay, I'll read Bhagavatam. Ah, yes, there's the verse. I understand now why it happened. Every time she does that. And it's true. It's true. That we have to, but we just forget, oh, Bhagavatam's there. We forget, oh, I can go to Bhagavatam, I can go to the holy name. And Srila Prabhupada, he said that by chanting the holy name, we will be happy, and by reading the books, we will be convinced. So it's very, very important. Any other questions?
Yes. For Kaliyuga, like we say, Hare Nam Kevala. So like chanting, isn't chanting itself, but doing not anything else can deliver a person from Kaliyuga.
The question is, can chanting itself, not doing anything else, deliver a person? Yes. If all you do is chant, it can deliver you, but unfortunately, most of us can't only chant. We have to, our minds go elsewhere, and our intelligence goes elsewhere, so therefore the books. The books are to keep our intelligence engaged.
Convince
us, yes, I should chant.
Supporting.
Yeah, supporting, yeah, each other. And then also, when you are chanting, also it helps you to understand what is written in the books. It helps. It is a life of all transcendental knowledge. The first verse of Shikshastakam, Vidya Vatu Jivamana, the life of all knowledge. So sometimes I would not be able to understand, because I had to teach Bhagavatam a verse, and then I would read the verse, and then I would chant one round, and after one round, I would get so many understanding of the verse.
It's difficult to understand.
Yes, it's difficult. By chanting, then you can understand. Then you can understand easily. Without the chanting, it's not so easy to understand. But if you chant nicely, then you can understand also Srimad Bhagavatam. They go together. Prabhupada often said, Kirtaniya Sadahari and Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. The two go together.
Because one of his lectures I was reading, it's a video lecture, where he told that if you those people who want to chant, they can chant and learn. And those who say, okay, I cannot chant, then yeah. The books are there to convince them.
Yes. Because some people, this is for those who like to read and who are philosophers.
Yes.
Most people like to dance and chant. Yes. But some people think, oh, this is a childish, or this is very emotional.
Yeah.
So you read the books.
Yeah, something like that will
it's like that. Like it's
you,
like
if you think the word chanting is nonsense, then yeah. Read the book and then you'll
yeah.
See. Like some people felt in the beginning like that. What is this yeah. Like? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, some people do feel like that. And some people, they cannot understand the books, so for them, chanting. And some people can chant or read the books, for them, prasadam.
That's best.
Yeah, yeah. So, no chanting, no books. Okay, just take the sweet. Oh, yeah, let me, what's in that book? Yes?
What is the importance of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam?
Bhagavad Gita is compared to the high school study, the high school level of study. The first six cantos of Srimad Bhagavatam are compared to the BA college level, and the last six cantos of Bhagavatam are compared to the MA level. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is PhD. And it's you can see it. If you study Bhagavad Gita, the essential verse at the end is Sarvadharma Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Raja. That if give up all your dharmas and surrender to me. Now, in the Bhagavatam, the connection is there in the second verse. Dharma prochita kaitavatra. Give up all your cheating dharma. Nirmat saranam satam. And here this Bhagavatam, it is for the pure-hearted soul. So the connection is there between the 1866 and Bhagavatam second verse. Another connection is there that Bhagavad Gita is spoken before the battle of Kurukshetra. And Bhagavatam starts at the end. You see first Krishna on the chariot with Arjuna, Ashwatthama. Everybody died except a few, and then Ashwatthama wants to kill the last. He kills the sons of Draupadi, then he wants to kill Parikshit. So that's another connection there. That is, one's at the beginning, one's at the end. And then Bhagavatam is connected to Chaitanya Charitamrita. The last verse of Bhagavatam is about Nam Sankirtana. It's described Nam Sankirtana as the highest, then you go into Chaitanya Charitamrita after that. So yeah, it's all connected. It's the MA and it's the BA MA is Bhagavatam. And the high school level is, but it's equally potent. Gita, if you study Bhagavatam, you can see that all the seeds are in Gita. The seeds for Sankhya are in the 13th chapter, and then you go into third canto with Kapila Dev. All the seeds are there, in the verses and the purports of Bhagavatam. Yeah.
So one has to go sequentially?
You can read Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam at the same time, because we used to have Bhagavatam morning, Gita in the evening class. So you can do Gita and Bhagavatam together, even Chaitanya Charitamrita. But for Bhagavatam, Prabhupada did say it's good to go sequentially, except for Krishna book. Krishna book every night we had. We went immediately to the 10th canto and with Krishna book. We had Krishna book when I joined in 70, then Krishna book came out 2 months after I joined. And we would, that was before you go to sleep. Because then you'd probably say you'll dream of Krishna if you read before you go to sleep. You read Krishna book. Bhagavatam was morning class, Gita we had evening class, and then during milk we would have milk before we sleep and read Krishna book. And then sleep. And then dream of Krishna. Prabhupada said. And he said this was the way that the villages in India used to do. Every evening they would have some Bhagavad Katha or theater, like drama, Mahabharata. He remembers, he said when he was young, going to Mahabharata performances and speaking or kirtan before you sleep, you know. So then you do think, you dream about it. Especially like sometimes we have these long kirtans, 12-hour kirtan, and then you hear the kirtan, first thing when you wake up, you hear the kirtan. You think in your mind. Any other questions? Yes.
Can I ask one more? Mm-hmm. In the beginning you said that Sutta Goswami, when he was narrating to the Nagisharana, Jamaraj was also present there.
Yeah, so they have invited him.
Yes,
the sages.
When the Bhagavatam was being spoken in an association, mm-hmm. Jamaraj is there. But mm-hmm. when someone reads Bhagavatam alone, what is the situation?
That I cannot say. It was referring to like a class, but it could also work. I mean, you can try it. I wouldn't invite Yamaraj if I were you, but because
I'm like contemplating my mind, because every night before I go to bed I get
sick. Oh, that's nice. So that's very good. Yeah.
So I may think that Yamaraj is beside me.
It is more than little.
Yeah, in a good way. In a good way. Yeah. Yeah, he may be attracted if you read very nicely. Just do come to hear only, you know, not to
take you
disturb me. That might good, you know, time of death, we should also remember. Of course, we chant Hare Krishna, but we can also remember Bhagavatam and say, okay, it's time for Bhagavatam, bless your Raj.
But whenever we read, like, Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam, like, most of the devotees, they do present, like, because you are reading about Krishna, then all the devotees of Krishna.
That's right. Yes, yes. Arjuna is there for Gita, Shuta, Shonaka, Shukadev. They're all there. That's right.
They all love to hear the Krishna.
Yeah. So that is good association for you. Yes. That's very nice. And Yamaraj is Vidura in Krishna, in Krishna Lila. And he was always protecting the Pandavas. Always. Always the friend of the devotees. And he says to his Yamadutas, don't go near the devotees. So yes, that's very good. That's why we wear the Kunti Mala also. Who is wearing Kunti Mala, Yamaraj won't come. Who is chanting, who is... If you chant, then you call the Vishnu Dutas. If you do nonsense, you call the Yamadutas. They are looking for people who are doing nonsense, and Vishnu Dutas are looking for people who are chanting Hare Krishna. They're both wandering like the police patrol, wandering around. Okay? Yes?
What does it mean when we were reading a verse that manifest in my throat? Mm. So what does it mean?
What does it mean that Bhagavatam will manifest in my throat? It means that your throat will become pure, purified. It means Krishna. Bhagavatam in your throat means Krishna in your throat. Please come in my throat. It means that all you will speak is Bhagavatam. Someone asks you a question, and I know Mahavishnu Swami was like that. If you ask him any question, he will respond with the Bhagavatam verse. He would. So that's Krishna. That's Bhagavatam in your throat. That was Mahavishnu Swami, the old one who left this world. Because we asked him how to study Bhagavatam, he gave us a verse. How to study. Step by step. So that's how he would answer any question. Bhagavatam in the throat. We have living example of that. And I think Gaurgobinda Maharaj too was like that. These were two great Bhagavatam speakers amongst our devotees. Any other questions? Is it time for initiation prayers? Well, our children. So we have to call the children. Initiation prayers?